You clock out, we clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Welcome to this edition of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. Joining me today is Jeff Call from the Des News. How are you doing today, Jeff?
Doing fine, thanks.
Yeah, I imagine you're enjoying some slightly warmer weather down in Vegas today.
I wish I could say that. It is sunny and pretty warm down here, but I've been pretty much all week working, and so much going on with this football program right now. I'm not a lot of time to enjoy stuff, but it is nice to be down here, at least out of the snow. That's kind of nice.
Yeah, I'm definitely envious of that part. You bring up there are tons of storylines going around the BYU program. One of the main ones is the coaching position, Bronco leaving to Virginia. So is there any new updates that you could tell us about potential replacement for Bronco?
Well, right now, we don't know a whole lot other than Ken Yamatalolo obviously is no longer a candidate. He's going to stay at Navy. That was kind of an interesting deal that kind of dragged on for a few days. I think ultimately he felt like it was best for him to stay where he was. And I believe he got a pretty nice raise for himself, his assistants there at Navy. But I really do think he seriously considered the BYU job. And I know there were some serious discussions going on and things like that. We don't know all the details. But anyway, so he's no longer an option. And I think from what we can tell, the focus of his coaching search is now on Kalani Sitake. We know he's met with BYU and I know a lot of fans and other boosters really would like to see Kalani be the next coach. And looks like we're just going to have to wait at least a couple more days, I would think, before we know anything definitive about that.
Yeah, I mean, how soon do you think we might see an announcement? Do you think it'll be early next week or even after the bowl game or when?
I don't know. I would guess it would be, you know, early next week if I had to bet on it. But then again, you know, I kind of thought there might be a press conference before the team left for Vegas. So, you know, who knows what's going on behind the scenes. There's a lot. It's very fluid, as we know. A lot of things going on. I would think that BYU would want to get this wrapped up before the Christmas holidays, which is, you know, about a week from now. So I would guess we're pretty close to a resolution.
Yeah, well, I know BYU fans are sitting on the edge of their seats waiting to see that announcement come across.
Mm-hmm.
But let's shift to the actual game at hand tomorrow. You know, the dance-off happened, and of course, Utah, Senny from the Utah defensive line, I believe it was, called BYU dirty. But I also know there was a press conference today. Did it seem like BYU was still amped up over what happened at the dance-off, today at that press conference?
Oh, I'm sorry. You kind of broke up there. Could you repeat that question?
Oh, yeah, of course. No, I was just saying, you know, with the dance-off and everything went down there, you know, it's
uh-huh.
been a day or so since that happened. Did the BYU players at the press conference or any players you've interacted with since then still seemed fired up over what happened, or what's your general feeling?
No, I think, like a lot of things in the rivalry, I think things are kind of overblown a little bit. You know, what he said was a little controversial and stuff, but I don't get a sense that was really taken personally or anything. I mean, I know he has a couple of close friends or good friends on the BYU team, and so I don't think he meant any necessarily harm by it. But you know, I think it's just one more thing to throw on the rivalry, but I don't think it'll have any impact on anyone's emotions or how this game is played. It's just a little incident that happened, and Utah Coach Kyle Whittingham addressed it with the player, and I think everyone's pretty much moving on at this point.
Yeah, no, it seemed that way. I just, you know, obviously I'm not in Vegas, so I was curious to see what your perspective was based on the fact that you're still there. Let's get into the matchup. So let's start with offense. You know, BYU coming against the defensive line of Utah and what is a predominant run-stopping defense, how do you feel BYU's offense is going to match up against Utah's defense?
Well, I imagine that, I mean, Utah has a very good defense, as we all know. I think they're going to do a lot of things, or at least try to do some things that Michigan did against BYU, and we all know how that went for BYU's offense. I don't know if Utah's capable of doing that kind of damage to BYU's offense, but I think that a lot of the principles are going to try to stay the same or similar, and we've seen that in the past with Utah against BYU being very physical and man press coverage, trying to bottle up those receivers and then putting a lot of pressure on the quarterback. And we've seen at times I think BYU's offensive line isn't very good, but it has struggled at times. And with the amount of pressure that Utah's D-line is going to put on Tanner Mangum, it's going to be very interesting to see. I'm kind of thinking that he's going to have to roll out a lot and do some scrambling in the pocket to try to buy some time. And the question for me is, can those receivers, are they going to be physical enough to be able to get some separation and create some passing lanes for Tanner to throw to? I think one thing, like we saw in the Utah State game, we saw Tanner throw quite a few 50-50 balls and allowing receivers like Mitch Matthews and Nick Kurtz and Devon Blackman to jump up and catch those balls. And I think we're going to see that tomorrow. And, you know, Utah's got a pretty opportunistic defense. I mean, we saw what they did to Jared Goff earlier this year. I think they forced him into 4 or 5 interceptions. I can't remember the exact number, but they're pretty good at disguising coverages. They're good at, getting the balls that are thrown. And so, yeah, it's going to be an interesting matchup. I think we'll see a lot about learn a lot about how this BYU offense, what they've learned from games like against Michigan and Missouri and some of their weaknesses. And then as far as the ground game, one intriguing thing to me is the addition of Squally Canada. Obviously, he hasn't played a game this year, but I remember seeing him in fall camp, and he looked like a very good running back. He has some speed and some power. And so that's going to be intriguing to see him playing his first game as a Cougar tomorrow and to see how that affects the run game along with Algie Brown and Francis Bernard and some of these other guys. And it's going to be tough. Like you said, it's going to be tough for BYU to run the ball, but they're going to need to be at least somewhat effective in order to be balanced and to move the ball and score some points against Utah.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of mentioned it. I'm kind of intrigued with, you know, Mangum obviously going to be pressured. No one's trying to hide that fact, but BYU is going to have a serious size advantage at the wide out position. I mean, how many jump balls are there going to be in this game? And do you think, although undersized, that Utah could potentially capitalize on those moments?
Yeah, they could. I mean, they've got some athletes back there, and, they've obviously watched film. They know that's part of BYU's game is to throw the ball up there and let the big, lanky receivers get the ball and go after it. And so there's no doubt. I mean, Kyle Whittingham is very good at preparing his teams for whatever they face. And I'm sure they have a game plan in place to counter that when they see it. And so, yeah, it's going to be fun to see how that plays out.
Yeah, no, I think it will. I mean, the other thing is, everyone's talked about, throughout the season, when I've done these interviews with beat writers of teams facing BYU, we talk about Tanner Mangum and how much him being a freshman could or could not influence the game. After a season having gone by, is he pretty much beyond the, what mistakes we would expect from a freshman quarterback?
Yeah, I think, it's hard to overstate the importance of Tanner Mangum in this game tomorrow. I think he is the key for BYU. If he's able to buy some time, he's able to make good throws and make big plays, like, for example, we saw against Utah State. I mean, that obviously bodes well for BYU. If he know, he's the one thing about Tanner is he's very poised for a situation. I've never seen a quarterback, a college quarterback, just months removed from a mission, do what Tanner's been able to do this season. However, on the other hand, we have seen a few times this year, particularly against Michigan, where he looked flustered and looked confused and was kind of, you know, had very happy feet and running around not really knowing what he's doing. And you know, the bottom line is he's playing his first rivalry game. He's playing his first bowl game, all in the same game. And a lot of the advice he's been getting from people around him is just, you know, don't make this game bigger than it is. Just play your same game. Don't get too hyped up. And, you know, we're going to see how he handles those emotions and how he can, if he can continue showing that poise that we've seen throughout the year in a huge game, the season finale against our tribal. I think that's why a lot of focus is on him, because we're all really curious to see how he's going to react on this big stage and such a big moment against a very good defense.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, if you had to pick, you know, who's got the advantage, Utah's defense or BYU's offense?
Oh, boy. It's a good question. It's hard to say. I mean, I think if BYU is able to, if they're able to capitalize on some of those 50-50 balls, things like that, and get away from the man pressure, be able to fight that off, you know, I think they'll be successful. As far as who has the edge, I mean, statistically, if you look at it, I mean, some stats would show you that BYU's got the edge, and some would show you Utah. I know that, you know, BYU's one of the top in the nation in red zone scoring percentage offense, and then Utah's among the nation's leaders in red zone defense. So that right there is going to be really, really interesting to me. Once they get inside those 20 yard line, are they able to do things to punch it in the end zone? Because, you know, that's just going to be crucial. I don't think they can win this game just with field goals, and I don't think Utah can win it with just field goals either. Both have good field goal kickers, but I think, you know, making those plays inside the red zone is going to ultimately decide this game. And I like BYU's chances, but history shows us that they've struggled in the last several years when they've played to consistently get in the end zone against Utah.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it seems like, you know, it's strength versus strength in that matchup. And then you get to the other side of it where, you know, Utah's offense has been really the weak part of Utah's game. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, you tell me, would you feel like that may be the same thing with BYU's defense?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen glimpses this year of this BYU defense playing very, very well. And, you know, forcing turnovers and getting pressure on the quarterback and making plays. The concern from BYU's standpoint on defense is they have not been very good on third down. And we saw that particularly late in the season against Missouri, against Utah State, where teams will have 3rd and 9, 3rd and 11, 3rd and 14, and they'll keep drives alive by making a big play on third down. BYU cannot let that happen. They've got to figure out a way to not let Utah get third down conversions and hold on to that ball and keep drives alive. So that's one area where BYU, even though Utah is struggling offensively, I mean, that's something they've got to be effective, just on third down, forcing punts. And as we know, Tom Hackett's the nation's best punter, so he can flip the field. But if you can at least you know, force those punts, get three and outs and force them to get into third down, third and long situations, make them uncomfortable. I think you have a better chance of forcing Travis Wilson to throw interceptions, and which obviously is a huge thing. And we know that Travis Wilson is prone to do that sometimes. So that's the number one thing I'm looking for, is how are they going to handle third downs? And then the other thing is another weakness we've seen at times from this team is just tackling, inability to wrap up and get a guy down. Because we've seen several teams be able to, through running the ball, just get into the second guy, running back getting in the secondary, breaking tackles. And, you know, they've got to be – they've talked for weeks, the BYU defense, about being gap sound, assignment sound, and being able to bring down ball carriers, and they have to do that. They can't let a guy like Joe Williams break a bunch of tackles and get over 100 yards. They've got to be able to slow him down a little bit. And also, as we know, Travis Wilson is a threat to run. They cannot let him, you know, break through and get a bunch of long runs either. And BYU's been prone to that at times against teams. So, I think BYU with guys like Kai Nakua can get turnovers and make plays that way. Bronson Confusi obviously can get in the backfield and wreak havoc on Utah by getting to Travis Wilson. But again, the two main things I'm looking for tomorrow is being good on third down and then just being able to tackle, being able to, at the point of attack, get a guy down and not let him break a tackle and get 5, 10, 15 extra yards. If they can do those two things, you know, I don't know what Utah's offense is going to be able to do with Devontae Booker out, with Britton Covey. He may play, but maybe limited in what he can do. I heard this week that his ankle is still pretty swollen and not even close to full strength. He might give it a go, but for Utah not to have two weapons like that, it gives BYU's defense a big advantage. Now, can they take advantage of that by stopping the Utes on third down and, again, making tackles when they need to? That's, to me, the big question.
Yeah, and, I mean, I guess we'll see. I mean, it's game time is close upon us. And, you know, I wanted to have a little bit of fun. And, you know, we always see the prop bets that come with the Super Bowl. I was wondering if you could create a few prop bets for the BYU-Utah game tomorrow, what would they be?
I'm sorry, create a few what?
Prop bets. You know, things along the lines of, will there be a brawl tomorrow, or who has the most personal fouls? I mean, what do you think will be the kind of the things outside of the game that will happen tomorrow?
Well, I don't know. It's hard to predict. I mean, I think there will be some personal foul penalties in this game on both sides. I think you can pretty much guarantee that. I think both teams will probably have at least a turnover or two. You know, I expect a low scoring game. I just don't see either of these offenses really exploding for points unless there's some, you know, turnovers. I mean, like what we saw at the end of the first half of the Utah State game, some bizarre turnover that results in a touchdown. I can see that maybe influencing the score, maybe jacking up the score a little bit. But, I mean, overall, I just see a pretty low-scoring, hard-fought game. And for most of the season, BYU's identity is, I would say, if you had to say overall, start slow and then fourth quarter – be in the game, and in most cases, other than the Missouri game, they find a way to, and when they're in that situation in the fourth quarter, that they've found a way to win most of those games other than UCLA and Missouri. So I'm kind of expecting the same kind of a thing. I would not be surprised if it comes down to the last series, maybe even the final play. Who knows? It may come down to a field goal or something like that. And I'm expecting one of the classic Utah-BYU rivalries that we've seen over the years, one of those games that people will be talking about for decades after the fact. So that's kind of what I'm expecting tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, the first time they've ever faced in a bowl, first time they've ever faced each other on a neutral site. So this game is just set up to be one for the history books, and I'm sure go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you're exactly right. Sorry to interrupt. I was just going to say, on top of all that, I mean, if that's not enough out there, I mean, Bronco's going for his 100th win at BYU, as we know. If Utah wins, Kyle Whittingham will become the winningest NCAA coach in bowl wins or bowl percentage I think he's 8-1 right now, make him 9-1. So, you know, there's a lot on this game. There's a lot on the line. And then you factor in it's Broncos' last game. And like what you're saying before, first time in a bowl game, first time, these teams are playing in a bowl. And on top of that, you know, BYU is trying to break this losing streak and they've lost four in a row. And Utah has not won more than four in a row in the series since 1964, I believe. So there's a lot of history in this game and a lot of, aside from bragging rights and everything else, there's a lot riding on it. And I think both teams understand that. But when the ball's kicked off, none of it really matters. It's just going to come down to what happens during those 60 minutes. And you know, I'm fascinated to see how both teams manage their emotions and manage the big stage. It's just going to be, it's something to really look forward to tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm looking forward to a ton of storylines. Should be a great game. Jeff, I really appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule down in Vegas to hop on with us. And hopefully you're able to get some time to relax, at least if not anything after they announce the coaching. A new coach, you will at least get to relax a few days before going pure basketball.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that my Christmas with my family is salvaged. That's all I'm hoping for at this point. So let's hope that happens at least.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. You know, we'll be cheering for you to be able to get a good family Christmas. And once again, I can't thank you enough for taking some time out of your busy schedule. And we'll catch up with you later.
Okay, thanks for the time.
This has been a Torn Life Sports production.